Do you have any clue how other organizations handle this situation?
That's an interesting question. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we try to keep the quorum as low as we did, which was 10%.
Yeah.
And I think it's also one of the reasons why I was so adamant about trying to have at this level. I wouldn't be adverse to holding it open for, you know, another 15 days, and then we can maybe have a blitz on the radio saying, look, we need people to vote.
So a two-week extension in the event quorum is not obtained?
Right.
Is that okay, Ray?
Yes.
And then may I ask one other thing? Suppose at the end of that two-week extension, we still don't have a quorum, then we've failed to elect delegates. Did we start the whole elections procedure over, or what happens in that situation?
I think that's an excellent question. I guess we pragmatically, we could probably operate without delegates. I mean, we don't want to, but, from a straight corporate government perspective, what we cannot operate with a board of directors.
Yeah, and the delegates are the ones who elect the directors. So we've held a delegate election, and no delegates were elected because we didn't get a quorum. But there was a board of delegates that was seated previously, so they're not removed because their successors haven't been elected. So they just continue?
Yeah, one of the approaches we can take is that, the delegate's term is not over until there's been a new election. That's one approach you can take.
So until a replacement has been seated.
Exactly. The other approach you could take is if the local station can't get the votes to do the delegates, that you delegate the responsibility to elect the delegates to the board. I'm just giving you options. I'm not saying...
What was the second part of what you said? It's whose responsibility?
The second fallback position could be that if the local cannot get enough interest to elect delegates, that the national board can elect the delegates at that point. That would be their option to deal with this problem.
So the national board would appoint people.
I thought you said the board of delegates, the one that was then existing, could fill its...
But we can make it the board of delegates. We can make it the board of directors. I'm just trying to come up with options that may.
Right.
I really think that the concept that Dave's come up, we need a fallback position, is a very good position.
I think so too. I would support extending it for 2 weeks while you do a blitz on the air to try to get those ballots in, and then if they don't come in, either all the delegates who are there stay until the next election cycle, or that the Board of Delegates appoint people to fill those seats. I would not want the National Board to do it because...
Yeah, I wouldn't want that either.
They're not the people. They're not familiar with the people in the station area. They're all over the country.
Okay, so if the voters don't get it together to vote for somebody, then they get the same board they already had.
Okay, so the part we're talking about extending is to be counted, all ballots must be received by the local station board on or before November 15th. That's where the two-week extension comes in.
If a quorum of votes has not been received, in other words, the 10% hasn't come in, then we would extend it for 2 weeks. And if at the end of that 2 weeks we still did not have a quorum, then we go to fallback position, which is either, there are two proposals, one that the current Board of Delegates just stays on until the next election cycle, the next year, the half of them that are up for re-election, or two, that the local station board appoint people to fill those seats, which would be half the seats.
Well, I would argue that if I'm a voter and my inaction should not change the powers of the elected body, it should merely continue them. And thus, I would argue that they remain on. The problem is we run into term limit issues under California code.
Well, delegates don't have term limits.
Well, that's true. Okay, well then, I would argue then, thank you, that you leave them intact. And if you can't elect a new board, hell, the voters pay the price to keep them.
I guess the voters aren't that concerned about the old board.
Well, yeah. And or the board's not too concerned about keeping on the job.
Well, I could hate to imagine it, but it's possible that we wouldn't generate enough interest. If we don't, I think it's reasonable to leave the board on for another year.
so that if a quorum is not obtained at the end of the initial election cycle, the election is extended 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If at that point a quorum is not obtained, then the board stays in office until the next election.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Does this have to be in the bylaws? Can't we have an election committee that can make some of these things, some of these decisions, a committee that could be, you know, is responsible so that we don't have to make these decisions and put them in bylaws?
Is that the kind of thing that should be left out of the bylaws, Kevin?
I would hope not.
I think it
should be. This seems like one of the few things.
One of the few things that really has to be in there. So what do you do?
I'm sorry, I was off the phone, so maybe I missed part of it.
I didn't hear Kevin's response to that.
Frankly, I think this is one situation I would like to fill this loophole.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think it's very serious, potentially, if we really have concern that we may not be able to do it.
You know what, if I could offer a modification, if a quorum is not obtained at the end of the initial election cycle, the election is extended 2 weeks. If a quorum is not then obtained, previously I said the board stays in office until the next election, I think that then the board must reinitiate the election process.
No, I wouldn't second that.
No?
Can you say that again?
That we extended 2 weeks if there's no quorum.
Yes.
At that point, there's still not a quorum. We have an option of either saying, okay, we'll just wait another election cycle, a whole year, or say, no, we didn't do it right, let's start the election process over again.
Well, would extending a second 2 weeks, I must sound crazy, be less painful than all the above? Although I realize that being said, there's a third possibility that, again, we might not meet the requirements.
Or we can say extend it in 2 week segments until a quorum is achieved.
You know, I'm getting really, really concerned about this. We have to have some finality.
I think one extension, and then, you know, keep in mind, we're going to have another election within a year anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if we did not generate the interest going through the whole cycle again when everyone is exhausted and apparently not very involved and interested right away, would get the same result.
Or worse.
So okay. Let people wait until the next election cycle, and people get mad because we f*** them, and let them get organized and get out and drum up the vote next time.
So, Ray, with your approval?
That? Yeah.
With your approval, Ray, then the motion could be posed as follows. If a quorum is not obtained at the end of the initial election cycle, the election is extended 2 weeks. If the quorum is not then obtained, the board stays in office until the next election. Is that okay as a stated motion, ladies and gentlemen?
Okay, seconded.
Okay, is seconded. Is any objection to that motion hitting the table? And let's call in a vote. Hearing no objection, then let's do a roll call vote. A vote yes is to institute that provision. Carol?
Yes.
Rob? Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Okay, Rob? Are you there? Rob's not here at the moment. I don't need to vote to break a tie. I would vote yes. The motion passes. Next.
You know, I'm getting very concerned about our progress. We've been on this call for an hour, or since 11 o'clock, it's 1:24, 2.5 hours. What are we going to do, folks?
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I actually have another commitment right now. Eric, you can stay, but I'm going to have to leave for a little bit.
I think we have to plow through this, ladies and gentlemen.
Is there some way we can streamline our comments? All right, that's just a friendly request.
Okay, a good idea.
Okay.
Next issue, delegates' terms of office. Is there any controversy on that, ladies and gentlemen?
Eric is in charge of what the next issue is.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Erica.
Erica's gone, but I guess I'll take over. It seems to me that the next major change is Section 6 Fair Campaign Provisions. There's an addition at the end of the paragraph. Erica, I'll tell you where we're at. She's coming back. Section 6.
Oh, yeah, it's just the addition at the end of that paragraph just to make it consistent with our new provisions with regards to the election supervisor, and also to include a suggestion which we received to require all candidates to certify an intent to comply with these fair campaign provisions.
All right. Looking at this section, we've given the election supervisor power to make a remedy if a candidate violates the fair.
To do what?
To have make a remedy to decide what to do if a candidate violates the fair campaign provisions. Up to and including
disqualifying
the candidate.
You think that's too much?
No, I don't. I think people should abide by them. But I'd like to add to it. The main problem here we're faced with is what we don't want is on-air staff going on the air and saying so-and-so is a good candidate or so-and-so is a bad candidate. We don't want that abuse of this on-air staff's power to influence the vote of the listener sponsor members.
So, Carol, this is where, in this case, if an on-air person came and supported you, let's say, you would be disqualified?
The election supervisor has the authority to fashion a remedy if something that breaks the rules occurs. Now, if I didn't know about it, wasn't the instigator, I mean, it's in that person's discretion to fashion the remedy. But we can't have staff members going on the air and saying, Ray LaForest is an SOB, don't vote for him.
That's not true. Seriously, Lucy, I understand what you're saying completely. My point is that how do you prove that the person is that? No, I mean, your enemies would find a staff person to endorse you and get off, therefore get you off.
Right, so I suggest that we add to that the election supervisor has the discretion to fashion a remedy up to and including disqualifying the candidate and or up to and including suspending the on-air violator from the air for the remainder of the election period.
Well, that seems like that's overreaching.
Well, we've got to delegate some stuff here, kid. Put the election supervisor's
all right.
Job.
I mean, suppose it's Clayton Riley on the air saying, Janice is, you know what? The election supervisor can suspend Clayton from the air for the remainder of the election term.
Well, you sure picked a good example.
The general manager could take him off the air, too.
That's right. And
the program director should take him off when he calls me names.
Sure.
So,
and
I don't know.
Supervisors are under the aegis of the board. So there's accountability there.
So I don't know that you need the election supervisor to do it.
Well, you shouldn't need to, but if you do, you do.
Oh,
you might not need to, but I mean they've got to give somebody the power to make sure that we don't have this kind of abuse.
Okay, that's the language as it stands. Is there any concerns, any proposals for modification? Hearing no motions.
Wait a minute. The addition of the on-air staff suspension isn't in the draft you're looking at, so I'm moving that we add it.
Say that again, Carol. I'm sorry.
Disqualifying
the candidate and or suspending the on-air person from the air for the remainder of the election period if they violate the rules.
And these will be the two prescriptions?
Yeah.
There will be no other...
No. Up to and including. They could do something less drastic if they thought it was adequate.
Because, you know, the Liberal organizer, I'm dealing with that all the time.
Removing the candidate from participating, or for running for election if that happens.
Okay, Up to.
Yes. Might not happen. It's in the discretion of the election supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is any appeal process, by the way?
No.
You know, we're promulgating new bylaws now,
and we're giving somebody some powers that already rest with people who are employees of Pacifica.
Yeah, but they're not accountable for the elections, and
they're accountable for anybody who's supposed to. We have speech things.
Well, you
about
know, they're
your
doing this on WPFW right now, so I understand, and at KPFT, there's a lot of concern.
So who's doing what?
As I understand, they're on the air saying you can run and vote against the current LSB.
I'm not aware of that. I'll check it out, but I'm not aware of that, Carol.
I think this is a matter of concern, and we do have some general language about it.
And also, I want to point out that your local person would coordinate with your national person and determine it. So, you know, it's not just one person. It is two people, so... you know, that does increase the accountability there.
If I could note, I think it's something very important that has not been mentioned is this. If I'm the elections coordinator and I see that Star Turn, you know, radio personality, on-air host, is violating the spirit of this, I go to the manager. The manager says, well, wait a second. I'm not going to trash this person. This is my person. They're going to mess with me. There's new boards coming in. I'm going to get involved in a political dispute here. I think we should take it out of the hands of the general manager so that it's not a political issue that might redound against the general manager and allow the election supervisor to exercise her authority relative to the elections. So I think it's a sound proposal. I think to expressly state that the powers encompass that sort of thing is helpful to avoid ambiguity down the road. Any other comments?
That was good.
Any objections proceeding to a vote?
This is, and what you're saying now, you feel is not covered by Section 6 of Article 5.
Up to and including disqualification does not sufficiently demonstrate our intent to encompass the ability of the election supervisor to effectuate some discipline against a programmer who abuses the access to the election.
Okay, and what about the possibility of people that group together and, for example, collect email lists somehow?
That's not using the air.
Okay.
There's something over which Pacifica has control.
Pacifica doesn't control them, but we do control our air.
They do, well...
I'm sorry, I don't know what your question is, Teresa. What do you mean?
Well, I'm...
People can campaign through their friends and their email lists and anything else they want to do. What they can't do is use Pacifica's air to do it except in the authorized manner.
And if staff does, it's better that a non-manager person has to implement discipline because then it doesn't become a political issue on the board between staff.
I hear what you're saying, but something about this doesn't feel right. But go ahead.
Well, I know you don't like disciplining staff, do you?
No, I don't. No, I don't. And at every opportunity, I fight against it.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll not have any instance here to have to do so.
Well, I...
Any further comment? Any objection to calling the question? A yes vote would be to add the phraseology permitting the election supervisor to also act against on-air staff abuse. The language provided by Carol, I don't know if Carol can reread it.
Up to and including suspending them from the air for the remainder of the elections period.
Any objections to moving forward to a vote? Hearing none. Roll call vote, yes means to add this language. Carol?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Abstain.
Teresa?
Yes.
George?
T.
Hey. George, yes or no?
Yes.
Dave, Ray? Ray? Okay, no Ray. We have five yeses and an abstention. My vote's unnecessary. Ray's not present. Motion passed.
I'm right here, I'm sorry.
Okay, Ray, so
I was plugging my phone, I was running out of juice.
So yes or no, Ray? On this motion of Carol, yes means to add the authority of the election supervisor to take people off
the air. I vote yes.
Okay. That's a passed motion. Thank you,
so
ladies and gentlemen.
6-0-1. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, next issue, Erica, please.
Sure. Section 7. It's important for us to put in some language which briefly talks about the fact that once these bylaws are adopted, that elections for both the local station board and for this board will have to take place quickly. So we provided Section 7 as a suggestion, which basically provides that the board will, that the current interim board will establish a nomination and election time frame for each of the local station boards just for the purposes of this year, and that those times may be shorter and on dates other than otherwise set forth in these bylaws to help facilitate the need to get this done quickly. And that the interim board will also, by resolution, establish a nomination and election time frame for all the new boards to vote for a new board of directors in a shorter period of time as well.
It also sets up the staggering, doesn't it?
Yes. It basically provides that once the board is set, that re-elections will be based on the number, Carol will correct me, the highest, what's the phrase?
The highest ranked candidate shall serve on the LSB until December 2005.
Okay.
The next highest until December, it sets it up until December 2004. The top half will serve until December 2005. The lower half will serve until December 2004. That sets up our rotation going forward.
This eliminated a problem, didn't it? Or issues we had.
Okay, are there any concerns or modifications proposed?
I do. This is Ray. I have a question for this caller.
Attorney.
Under what condition do you see making the time frame shorter?
Well, it's my understanding that your settlement agreement is requiring that once these bylaws are adopted, that you have to have elections right away, which I understood to be within this year, particularly considering a new board of directors has to be seated.
We have to have a new board seated by the end of June, according to the currently effective court order.
Right.
We can go back and get more time if we have to.
Yes, I think the operative word is currently effective. Because I'm concerned that we just allowed a little bit more time, but we're still trying to, even if we should extend to accommodate for the 2 weeks we gave, rather than considering doing it in a shorter fashion. And I would move that we strike that section there, by the way. That says which time frame may be shorter.
Well, we could do something to try to shorten up other than, like, shorten up the balloting period from 30 to 15 days and see if that would work. You know, there are ways to cut time off this and still try to really expedite it.
But the big issue is just under our current language, if we look back at the time frame right now, we wouldn't even start holding for nominations until July 28th.
Well, this says we may set a shortened time frame. We don't have to set a shortened time frame, but we do have to start right away is what this says, right? In essence?
Yes. May shorten it.
Any other comments?
Any motions for modification?
Well, I'd like to make a motion that the
I'm not really inviting them. I'm just wondering.
But no, I was definitely planning on doing so. That the phrase which a time frame may be shorter be stricken out as being in contradiction with the spirit of what we've been voting on.
Well, you know what? I think that when we adopt these bylaws at a full board meeting with more board members present, we can fully discuss the schedule. This does not require us to shorten the time frame. So why don't we just leave it in and let more people discuss it at the board meeting?
There is a motion to delete the phrase time frame may be shorter and on. That would read, which dates? Oh, I'm sorry. To establish a nomination election time frame for said election.
Dates other than those. So.
Which dates may be other than those set forth in Section 2B, but eliminating the notion that time frame may be shorter. Is there a second to that motion? Lacking a second.
Guys.
I'm sorry, is there a second to that motion? Lacking a second, the motion fails.
Okay.
Now, I apologize. I have to raise something which I should have raised earlier. I've got all these notes. It was a proposal from the local advisory board insisting that in the bylaws there be a statement that in each election cycle there be required to be 2 hours or more for 2 weeks or more of on-air discussion of the issues of candidates on the ballot. Is there a second to that motion?
I didn't hear that.
Hearing no second. I'm sorry?
I said I didn't hear that. So.
Okay, there's a proposal from KPFK that prior to in each election cycle, prior to the election, that there be on-air discussion of the issues and candidates of 2 hours or more for 2 weeks or more ahead of the elections.
I think
that's
understood.
Well,
let's vote for it then.
The board feels that should be in the bylaws and that the motion from KPFK. Is there a second?
I second it.
Oh.
Is there any further discussion?
I think that I just don't think this belongs in the bylaws. I think that, you know, if we talk about having fair elections, that it's going to come naturally.
Is there any other discussion?
Well,
I oppose it because I think it takes more time than that.
But if you put a
minimum in there, then you're not going to get more time.
Why?
Because the station management will oppose it. Say we're not required to do it.
Okay, so is there any other discussion?
Well, can we phrase it to say that it would be a minimum to indicate clearly that's what we have in mind?
It would be what?
That we would, the language would say that it would be a minimum of, or no less than?
The minimum, that would be, there would be at least 2 hours or more, it says, 2 hours or more.
Okay, fine, all right, okay.
That's already implied. And that's the motion, and is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor would be saying yes to impose this into the bylaws. Carol?
No.
Pete?
No.
Janice?
No.
Teresa?
No.
George?
No.
Ray?
Yes.
Okay, I will vote yes.
What about Rob?
Oh, hey, Rob, what are you doing there? Oh, you were missing that last time. I thought you took your name out of the last list. Okay, yeah, Rob?
No.
I knew that. Okay. Well... Darn, I lose the worst ones. Okay, so next issue. Thank you, Erica.
No problem. I just also want to clarify one typo on the first paragraph of that Section 7. It references Section 2B, Sections 2B, 4, and 5 of this Article 5, and that should be Sections 3 and 4 of this Article 5.
Where are you?
Article 7.
The same paragraph of Section 7, 2003, transition election.
Right.
2-3. Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth line down references sections 2B, 4, and 5, and it should actually be sections 3 and 4.
Okay.
Thank you. Moving on now to Article 6. Section 1. Section 1 just made some minor changes. Section 1A was just a minor clarification change. Section 2B was changed to... remove the previous language that said that that would have required on-air staff and personalities to resign from their program in order to serve as a director. That is no longer a requirement for eligibility.
I have a couple of suggestions here. Any delegate, in order to be eligible to be nominated for as an at-large director, you're prohibited from serving as a delegate. So this is not sufficient. And also, I think we need to reiterate our prohibition against political people.
Yes.
So I have some suggested language here as follows. Eligibility should read, any delegate who is currently serving as a delegate and has served at least 1 year as a delegate is eligible for nomination and election to the office of director by his or her respective local station board, period. Any natural person who is not currently serving as a delegate on a local station board is eligible for nomination and election as an at-large director, period. Notwithstanding the foregoing, no person who holds any elected or appointed public office at any level of government, federal, state, or local, or is a candidate for such office, shall be eligible for election to the position of director. A director shall be deemed to have resigned the position of director if he becomes a candidate for public office or receives a political appointment during his or her term as a director. This restriction shall not apply to civil service employment by governmental agencies. We've got that in there for delegates, but we need it in again in order to cover the at-large directors.
Carol, I would add one thing, I think, was to your second sentence about the at-large directors, and I would say caveat subject to if the board has resolved to have at-large directors, because there's still an open issue right now as to whether or not there will be any at-large directors.
Right. Well, if there is one, then this is the eligibility requirement, so the caveat should be in there, sure.
Right. Sure.
Second that motion.
Before you do that, is there any way we can just refer to the appropriate article rather than making it so long?
Because
I know this language, part of that language is reflected somewhere else.
I don't think so.
Well, if we get the intent in here, then the drafting issue is another matter. Let's make sure we know what our policies are.
The policy is that at-large directors can't be delegates.
Yeah.
And that nobody can have these political connections
right.
while they're serving on the board.
Is there a second to that motion?
Couldn't.
I second it.
Discussion.
Can't we take the statement that we made about regular delegates and just make it a general statement about any no delegates can be, you know, if they run for political office, can da-da-da?
That's what we did. That's what the language says.
Okay.
Okay, any other further discussion? Hearing no call for further discussion, then we'll take a roll call vote.
Is there any opposition?
Is there any opposition to this whatsoever? Hearing no opposition, I will deem this unanimous. Was there any objection to deeming it unanimous? Hearing no objection, is deemed unanimous. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Moving on to Section 1C, with regards to number of the board, we changed this language to reflect the board's desire for a minimum of 20 directors and a maximum of 23 based on the concept that the board may choose to have three additional directors who are at-large directors.
Or we could choose to have one.
Or to have one, two, or three, up to three. The way we addressed with that issue was to provide the board with a minimum and maximum number of directors and to allow the board by resolution from time to time to pick the exact number of directors within this minimum and maximum range, meaning that at all times there shall be at least 20 directors. And then moving along that language then to provide that the 20 shall be from each of the radio stations for each. There's also one typo we wanted to clear in this section, which would be the second to the last sentence of the section that begins with, in addition, the foundation's executive director and chief executive officer. The reference to and chief executive officer should be stricken.
Did you mean chief financial officer?
I don't know really what I meant there.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
No, I mean, when I was reading it, I was thinking, I think because, you know, we were going back and forth about whether not to call executive director or president or executive director or CEO.
Okay.
But it's my understanding that it is your current intention to only have the executive director serve as a non-voting member of the board who shall not be counted for purposes of determining quorum or the minimum and maximum number of directors.
Erica? I have a question.
I'm sorry?
I have a question about the sentence that reads, the delegates of each LSB shall be entitled to select four directors.
Yes.
Three of whom shall be listener-sponsored delegates and one of whom shall be a staff delegate. Should that be for a total of 20 or you really mean for a total of 220?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for a total of. You're correct.
Oh, okay.
That's a typo.
Could we change CELECT to ELECT? We just had a big, long lawsuit about ambiguous language as to whether they were electing or nominating.
I don't have a problem with that.
Well observed, Carol. Is there any motion to any further modifications of this sub-C? Hearing none. Move, we proceed.
The next changes appear in Section 1E of this article with regards to the specific powers and duties. 1E5 was a clarification of the request to make appointing, which gives the board the power to appoint, supervise, and discharge the foundation's executive director, chief financial officer, because I'm presuming that's somebody who's appointed or selected by the board, and all foundation officers. Whereas before, that language indicated that you could discharge all corporate officers, agents, and employees of the foundation. That's the only primary change to that section. Any comments or questions?
Any comments? Any concerns? Any proposed modifications?
Okay, moving on to Section 2.
One question here on sub 6 there
mm-hmm.
of the duties.
Mm-hmm.
Overseeing the conduct, I think you need to strike the word affiliates because our board cannot oversee or control the management of affiliate stations.
Okay.
Good point. Any objection to that?
Where is that, Carol?
Six.
E6.
Overseeing the conduct, management, and control of the foundation's affairs, including
monitoring the activities and actions of its radio stations and national staff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just striking out affiliates because the affiliates we don't control.
Well, we can oversee and monitor them.
No, I don't think they'd like that.
Well, they won't.
Let's move.
Tell them what to do, but we can.
We have enough trouble overseeing the monitoring.
Okay, any other corrections, comments relative to that subsection E? Hearing none. Section 2, term.
Sure. Section 2, terms. The last sentence is new. In our prior draft, or to back up, the issue here was what happens if you have someone who's serving a position as a director who's not reelected as a delegate. Just the language which it previously suggested was to allow them to continue to serve as a director and to sit on the local station board as a non-voting delegate. And it's my understanding that was contrary to the straw poll vote. So what we did was change it to reflect that in the event that a director's term as a delegate expires prior to the expiration of his term as a director, and said director is not reelected as a delegate, said director's term will expire at the time that the new delegate who was elected to replace him or her is seated. Now, what happened under that scenario is that then the board would have to look at the issue of how to fill, or the board and local station board would have to look at the issue of how to fill a midterm vacancy in the seats, which I think is addressed.
They just hold an election, don't they?
Yeah, it's addressed later on in Section 8.
Under filling vacancies.
Yeah, which basically says if a director's seat was vacant for any reason, that seat should be filled for the remainder of the term by a director elected by that local station board.
Okay.
Unless it was an at-large director and then the board of directors who would pick somebody else to serve in the at-large seat for the remainder of that at-large director's term.
From the nominees previously submitted.
Yeah.
It's in there.
As to Article 6, Section 2, are there any other proposed modifications? There is one from KPFK, but...
There is one from KPFA, and I understand KPFT also backs it, which is that we should reconsider the three-year term.
One-year terms is what KPFA
And go to one-year terms with a maximum of five. This solves the problem of the out-of-sync elections. And it makes it very simple to keep track of when electors... whether you've replaced somebody midterm or not. You just hold elections every year.
It also ensures greater depth of diversity relative to the greater number of people being elected each year,
right,
thus giving greater voice to the minority perspectives.
Right. If you're electing four directors every year, then you can look around and find a nice, diverse pool. And if they're doing a good job, you'll just keep re-electing them.
So, Carol, your motion is?
That we go back to, that we go to one-year terms, a maximum of five consecutive such terms.
Okay, is there a second?
Any discussions?
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, thank you. I support it. KPFK supports it. Let's move.
Call the question?
Any objection to calling the question?
Apparently I'm in the minority. I'm just concerned that somebody running for 5 years, let's say, would have to run five consecutive years. In a way, we just had a vote like that earlier, considering the local board.
This seems sort of like backdooring the thing about having annual elections.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. This is the national board election. It's
election.
Not ballots going out to 100,000 people. It's the local board sitting there and electing their national director.
We discussed this on the board. We're going back over it again. Let's call for the question.
Any objection to calling the question? Hearing none, the question is called. The motion yes means to restore it to yearly terms, maximum five. Any questions? None? Good. Carol?
Yes.
Rob?
No.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
No.
Teresa? George?
No.
Ray?
No.
Teresa?
Is Teresa there?
Dave votes yes. Teresa's not there. So that the motion fails, 4-3. Carol, yes. Rob, no. Peter, yes. Janice, no. Teresa, absent. George, no. Dave, yes. Ray, no. Next.
I'm going to have to leave at 5 o'clock.
Me too.
Okay, that's in, on the East Coast, that's in 8 minutes.
Should we proceed to maybe schedule another call to address the remainder of the bylaws?
I think maybe we should do that. We've got a problem. That is that...
Hi, this is Teresa. I'm back.
Hi, Teresa. We're talking about scheduling another meeting to discuss the bylaws and finalize so we can get a final draft. And we really, Eric, I need to ask you what you can do, because we really do need to have a final draft by next Wednesday.
Well, that's going to be problematic because the earliest that I can do another conference call is going to be on Tuesday. So depending on how substantive our changes are, that will impact, you know, whether or not Kevin and I can turn them around in 24 hours.
Are we available over the weekend at all?
Well, Saturday the march is going on here.
And Sunday the march is going on here.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm actually out of town. I'll be more than happy to do, you know, call first thing Tuesday morning if that works for people.
Fine with me.
We can't just go on another 5 hours and finish it? I'm only half kidding, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a certain amount of humaneness.
No.
I don't know.
No, can we do it Monday? There is a holiday and there will be off at least?
Well, Erica's not available until Tuesday.
Oh, I see. I had that. Yes.
Sergio, if there's any humanity in this process, Carol, you know better than that.
Well, given that Erica's first available date is Tuesday, I would like to move that we set up a conference call for as early on Tuesday as possible.
That sounds great with me, and I sure do appreciate everything Erica has done.
Very much.
No problem.
How early could you be available, Erica?
I can be available as early as 7:30.
How about 7:30, folks? 7:30 Pacific
time.
That's
Pacific time?
Yeah.
That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 East Coast.
And that's fine.
So at 7:30 a.m.?
Yes.
I told you there's no humanity in this.
That's fine. That's a good time. It might be difficult for me, but I'll try. That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. 7:30.
10:30 here.
Okay. Is the proposal that we adjourn or that we recess at 5 o'clock East Coast time?
We're recessing.
Or do you want to proceed for any longer today?
I don't think we should try to tackle another issue in eight minutes. I'd like to move to recess until 7:30 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday.
You said that New York time is 10, East Coast is 10:30.
That's
correct.
Now, Carol?
Yeah.
Based on how far you know, we've come up to page 23, are there any comments that anybody has that will impact from pages 1 through 23?
I don't know.
I think we've processed.
I was kind of curious about why there were no treasurer's duties when we talked about duties of officers.
Because under California law, a treasurer is actually referred to as a chief financial officer, so I usually just default to that language. If you create a CFO and a treasurer, then we need to kind of sit down and talk about how we determine who does what.
Mm.
Which we can do, but I just dealt with California language. If you remember, on the last version, I referred to the executive director as the president because that was consistent with California law, and you guys wanted that changed, so we had to kind of deal with kind of playing with the language to confirm with California law, but to meet your desires with regards to the title. We can do that.
Well, I'm just concerned, too, about I can't stay on the phone 5 hours at work on Tuesday, so.
Okay. I have a question or so. I believe somebody else who had raised it on the Internet about the lack of mentioning. There's no mention, apparently, of a program council.
Yeah,
or
we're going to have to.
Is it a feeling that it doesn't belong in the bylaws?
We've decided long ago that did not belong in the bylaws. That
okay.
It's a local thing that local policies and local boards will, in conjunction with management, will determine.
There's a motion on the table to recess until Tuesday, 7:30 in the morning. Is there any further discussion?
No. Erica asked a question, and yes, there's something that impacts the first 24 pages, and that's that section we said we would come back to.
Uh-huh.
About diversity.
That's diversity.
One thing I could do is go ahead and start making the changes, which have been discussed and passed today,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, at least we're, you know,
yeah.
halfway done before the Tuesday call.
I suggest you do that.
So if you...